This morning on WCHL, this year's flu-related deaths total is getting close to double what it was last year. We'll fill you in on all the latest numbers. More proposed budget cuts for the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System have some teachers in a fury.
If you're not going to have a robust, gifted, and talented program, don't advertise to the public that you do.
And while the Common Core standard system is still being scrutinized heavily, some say it just needs more time.
Common Core is a tougher set of standards. It's a set of standards that are needed for our children to succeed in life.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, only 48 teams remain now, and by the end of tonight's games, the UNC men are hoping to be one of the final 32.
The Tar Heels may have a better chance of reaching the Sweet 16 than they do getting to the round of 32.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL. We have 37 degrees in Chapel Hill. If you've been looking for a good day, this might be it. The only thing is, tomorrow will be even better. Sunny skies today. High today in the upper 60s. Five new flu deaths reported last week here in North Carolina. That brings the total number of influenza-related deaths to 91 for this flu season. That's according to data released yesterday by the State Department of Health and Human Services. In comparison, 59 people in total died of the flu during the last flu season. In recent weeks, it appeared the weekly total of influenza-related deaths was on a downward trend. The weekly total peaked in late January with a dozen deaths reported by the state health agency. Typical seasonal flus tend to impact very young children with underdeveloped immune systems or the elderly who have weakened immune systems. But for the 2013-2014 flu season, 33 out of the total number of people who have died have been between the ages of 25 and 49, followed by people aged 50 to 64, with 32 people dead. 21 people aged 65 or older, 4 children and 1 infant have died. The H1N1 strain of flu, also known as the swine flu, has caused a majority of deaths in the state. The best way to prevent contracting the flu is aggressive hand washing and getting the flu vaccine. It's not too late for people to get their annual flu shot, but it does take 2 weeks after inoculation for the antibodies to develop in your body and become effective. The Center for Disease Control recommends that people 6 months of age and older get vaccinated for the flu, and we're certainly not out of the woods yet. Flu season typically runs through the middle of May. The Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education could be making some tough cuts in its next budget. One proposed reduction amounts to more than $500,000, and it's angering some teachers and parents. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
If you're not going to have a robust, gifted, and talented program, don't advertise to the public that you do. Parents deserve to make an informed decision about their child's education.
That's Karen Herpel, a parent from Carborough. Thursday night at Smith Middle School, the Chapel Hill Carborough Board of Education held a work session to discuss budget issues. Herpel and a few others spoke out against a proposal that would reduce the number of gifted specialists in classrooms. According to budget recommendations released by Superintendent Tom Forsella on March 14th, proposed cuts in gifted specialists would amount to a net reduction of $536,340. That's more than half of approximately $909,852 in reductions Forsella recommends. That figure amounts to about 40% of $2.2 million, the total of the budgetary hole the school system finds itself in. In his March 14th recommendations, Forsella included some reminders of how the shortfall came to be. He cited the depletion of the fund balance as well as reduced support from the Republican-led North Carolina General Assembly. The recommendation to reduce gifted specialists in classrooms comes with assurances that it will be done through attrition and reassignments and that no positions would be terminated. But Helen Mota, a gifted specialist for Culbreth Middle School, said her concern is for students. She said she was skeptical of a plan to use coaches to support teachers in the classroom in the absence of gifted specialists.
Gifted specialists are experts in differentiation and in understanding the needs of the individual student in the classroom, whereas coaches are more focused on teaching the curriculum and working with teachers to teach the curriculum. Our coaches right now are only working with math and language arts teachers, whereas gifted specialists work with science and social studies teachers as well.
She added that gifted specialists also understand the social and emotional needs of the students they work with. Among the six board members present, there was some unease about the proposal. Board member Mike Kelly suggested there should be some other options to consider. But some board members seem to be resigned to the idea that unwanted cuts are coming, and this is likely one of them. Here's Vice Chair Mia Day Burrows, currently running for a seat on the Orange County Board of Commissioners.
Of all the reductions that we could look at, this one is painful, but I think it is less painful than the others.
And there could be more pain to come. Assistant Superintendent for Support Services Todd LaFries mentioned that cuts in teachers' assistance could be on the horizon. One agenda item in Thursday night's meeting managed to unite the audience of around 20 people. As expected, the board unanimously voted to oppose General Assembly legislation that eliminates teacher tenure in 2018 and offers four-year contracts to 25% of teachers. That got a round of applause. To read more about the Chapel Hill Carrboro Board of Education, you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And a related story, as the statewide debate on the controversial Common Core standards continues, Orange County state and local leaders say that the recently adopted system has merit and that both students and teachers need time to adjust to the more rigorous academic goals. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
Common Core is a tougher set of standards. It's a set of standards that are needed for our children to succeed in life.
That's Chapel Hill Carrboro Board of Education member James Barrett. He was one of about 50 speakers who shared their opinions about the Common Core standards during a state legislative committee conference. The committee, which began meeting in December, has been charged with tracking and evaluating the progress of the standards in North Carolina classrooms. Already used in 45 states, North Carolina adopted the standards in 2010, though they were fully implemented during the 2012-2013 school year. Under the Common Core standards, school districts and teachers still decide how their curriculum is taught, but with the understanding that the material is expected to challenge students to develop an in-depth knowledge of key concepts and to also be able to demonstrate specific skills at each grade level. State House Representative Greg Meyer, who also serves as the director of the Student Equity and Volunteer Services for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, listened on as the public and various groups shared a wide range of viewpoints during the committee meeting. One private educator called the Common Core standards, quote, insidious.
We heard a lot of different opinions about the Common Core today. Unfortunately, a number of them were strongly ideological in nature. We really need to approach the Common Core as a practical issue about what are the best standards and how do we provide the best education to students. And I really get disappointed when education debates get caught up in political ideology.
When Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools released the Common Core standard test results last fall, district leaders warned that the numbers would not be good. Officials said students and teachers needed time to transition to the new system.
We have to find a way to provide teachers with the time to be able to learn the new standards and to plan the curriculum that they want to choose to use in their classrooms to help students meet those standards.
Barrett suggested that school districts should take a year off from the most rigorous testing.
That pressure to just do well on a multiple choice test is detrimental to our students' learning. And I think one thing that we could do is say, you know what, we're in the middle of this, it's a transition, and we need to take a pause on some of the testing.
Barrett said he believes that Common Core helps ready students for college and beyond, which he said aligns with the practices that Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Superintendent Tom Forcella and the district already tried to achieve in their classrooms.
Regardless of whether Common Core is here or not, these are changes that I think we do as a district believe in and that we need to be moving forward with.
Opponents of the standards have argued that the transition timeline has moved too quickly and that teachers need more training to instruct under the new system. Others have said that it is a form of federalism that gives the U.S. government too much say-so. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The race to be Orange County's Register of Deeds heats up as the three candidates faced off in their first forum last night. Not usually a lot of excitement at this particular race. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story on something different.
In what might be a first for Orange County, a crowd of nearly 50 turned out to a forum to hear from three candidates vying for the job of Register of Deeds. The usually low-key race is garnering attention as former Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton has stated that if elected, he'll issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples in defiance of state law. He said North Carolina's Amendment 1, which bans same-sex marriage, violates the U.S. Constitution.
I think it's clear it's unconstitutional, and the oath of office requires that we enforce first and foremost the United States Constitution, and that's what I plan to do.
But the incumbent in the race, Deborah Brooks, said it's not that easy.
Same-sex marriage is illegal in the state of North Carolina, and we cannot issue marriage license. If they change that statute, then we'll go along with that. We do not discriminate.
The other challenger is Sarah Stevens. She sided with Brooks on the question of same-sex marriage licenses.
My personal beliefs cannot and will not interfere with my professional obligations. It is my intention to have a friendly office and a welcoming office for everyone that enters the Orange County Register of Deeds office, but I will not go against the oath.
Chilton stressed he's not just running to take a stand against Amendment 1. He's also a real estate lawyer with a long interest in Orange County land use history. He said he'd like to see the county offer online filing for documents.
We're partway into implementing it now. I believe it's very important to finish it. Every real estate closing that happens in Chapel Hill and Carrboro results in a 20-mile round trip that some paralegal has to do to drive it up to the office. That makes no sense to me.
Brooks has held the position for the past 4 years and worked in the deeds office for nearly 40 years. She says the office has made progress towards providing more online services, including scanning more than 900,000 records that will be available to the public by the end of April. In addition, she says she hopes to move away from a cash-only system.
Everyone has to pay cash when they come into our office, especially for our body records. We're getting ready to implement credit cards. You can come in. Use your credit card.
Stevens worked in the Register of Deeds office for 5 years before moving to the private sector. She said her priority will be providing good customer service to all residents of Orange County.
A little over 3,500 births took place at UNC Hospital. Around half of those children born were Latino. Right now, the office does not employ a Spanish-speaking person or have Spanish on the website. That does not accurately reflect our community.
All three candidates are Democrats, and there is no Republican challenger, which means the race will be decided in the May 6 primary. Republican voters can participate in the primary if they change their registration to unaffiliated by contacting the local Board of Elections by April 10th. Last night's forum was hosted by the Orange County Democratic Women and also featured candidates running for the Board of County Commissioners. We'll bring you more from that forum early next week. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Regulators say they're looking into a report about a crack in a dam in a Duke Energy coal ash pit near the Cape Fear River. Duke says no water was flowing through the dam. Steve McElvoy of the State Division of Energy, Mineral, and Land Resources says inspectors are trying to determine the cause of the crack and whether the opening is a threat to the integrity of the structure. But he says the dam doesn't appear to be in imminent danger of failing. The structure is at the Cape Fear River plant, where North Carolina regulators said Thursday that Duke illegally pumped 61 million gallons of contaminated water from a coal ash pit that is near Moncure, south of Pittsboro. Regulators say the dumping violated Duke's wastewater permit at its Cape Fear plant. WCHL News Time, 8:16. Time now for traffic and weather together, and traffic brought to you by UNC Athletics. Carolina baseball. Don't miss Carolina versus Georgia Tech at Bostromer Stadium this weekend. They have a game this afternoon at 5, another one Saturday at 6, and another one on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Tickets and information available at GoHeels.com. But you have to experience Carolina baseball in Chapel Hill. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Well, thank you very much, Ron. It's been a smooth day so far to finish off this work week. We've got a couple slowdowns right now, though. 15501 southbound between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road, seeing a slight delay. 15501 northbound between Columbia and Manning Drive, seeing heavier delays, and then still slight delays from Manning up to NC-54. NC-54 heading westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some delays, and between NC-54 and NC-55 on I-40, that's between Raleigh Road and Apex Highway, seeing some slight delays on I-40 eastbound. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. The Durham Freeway not reporting any accidents or delays, as well as MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients, created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant on the UNC campus, favorite place for gourmet cuisine. All right, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, 37 degrees, sunshine today, high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low down in the middle 40s. And then tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the mid 70s. Doesn't that sound great? Tomorrow night, we'll get some more clouds, slight chance of rain late, overnight low in the upper 40s. Then on Sunday, it looks like it could be a rainy day. 60% chance of rain. Showers in the afternoon probably are high on Sunday, only in the low 50s. So really more than 20-degree difference in the high between Saturday and Sunday. So some changes in the weather. That's not unusual.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
The news around town this morning, Carborough's Tourism Development Authority is encouraging organizations to apply for funding for events and projects that promote tourism in the town of Carborough. Applications will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. To apply, all you have to do is visit a link on our website at chapelboro.com. It is 8:19. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Let's get right to it. Carolina's basketball team, of course, in action tonight. Tar Heels will be taking on Providence. And the long-awaited wait for tournament play is finally almost over. Tar Heels aiming to regain that sense of urgency that deserted them in their recent two-game slide. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on tonight's game.
You know, when we won 12 in a row, we were all, you guys asked about it. Everybody was wondering about it. Are you going to get complacent? And human nature is kids tend to slip if you allow them to slip. And I did a bad job because we slipped in an area that I think is extremely important.
That was head coach Roy Williams. And that area of extreme importance is rebounding. In their last two games, both losses, the Tar Heels were dominated on the boards, a place where UNC once dominated opponents themselves. Sophomore point guard Marcus Page points out another area of the game he thinks the Tar Heels need to incorporate more in their NCAA tournament game against the Big East tournament champions, the Providence Friars. He says Carolina needs to get back to running the floor and taking advantage of fast break opportunities.
When we start running better and playing defense better, I think that makes it gets more opportunities for other guys. You know, we can get breakouts for JP, or, you know, we can get a guy into the post and have that be our first option, whether it's Kennedy or Bryce. So I think it starts with us running the ball better. We've done a terrible job of getting out in transition lately.
One player Carolina will have to watch out for is Bryce Cotton. Cotton averages 21.4 points per game and plays a whopping 96% of the minutes for the Friars. And you thought Marcus Page played a lot. Remarkably, from February 10th to March 8th, Cotton didn't have a single game where he scored less than 20 points. Coach Williams says he's an absolute nightmare to defend.
When the guy who's dominating the ball is also the best scorer, it's hard to get it out of his hands because that's the reason they play. That way is because he's good at it, and we'll play man-to-man. We'll probably switch some defenses at times, but he's a load. You start looking at those stats, I mean, he's had an incredible year.
Despite the slide to end the season, Coach Williams says he's liked what he's seen from his players since the early exit at the ACC tournament.
They really had a great attitude. I mean, they were excited about practice. They were enthused during the practice. They worked hard, very vocal. You know, so I think, you know, you never can tell. They're 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, but I really do believe they understand what they're getting into. I think they understand that we need to do a little more, as I call it, investing. So I like our attitude. I really do.
An impressive streak will be on the line as well for Coach Williams Friday night. He's won at least one game in each of his last 23 NCAA tournament appearances. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, it is exciting just to think about Carolina playing in the NCAA tournament tonight, but the Tar Heels need to play a lot better than they have been recently. Taylor Zarzar, who is on Sirius Radio, has a program called Bleacher Report with Taylor Zarzar, joins us now, and you have seen a lot of Carolina basketball, Taylor. How would you assess the state of the Tar Heels as we get ready to play tonight?
You know, it's tough to tell. I mean, usually you have a pretty good sense with Roy Williams' program of what to expect, and obviously it comes down to hitting perimeter shots for North Carolina and hitting their free throws. We saw the horror of watching NC State in the last few minutes of the game last night, and it felt like watching North Carolina at times this season. Clearly, that's something North Carolina is going to have to do tonight. I think they have more talent than Providence, and I'm really, really impressed at the extension that this team has been of Roy Williams on the floor, how hard they fight, a bunch of great kids. But it comes down to hitting shots, Ron, in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you know that. And outside shooting has certainly been the Achilles heel for the Tar Heels this year.
Providence is a team that Carolina might have some problems with, as opposed to Iowa State, which would be the likely next opponent, which Carolina ought to be able to beat easier, I would think. That's just my opinion.
Well, Bryce Cotton is stopping dribble penetration is a big deal, and Bryce Cotton is somebody that is one of the most exciting players to watch in college basketball, and you know, so that's going to be the key tonight, is stopping this kid and not letting him run wild on the Tar Heels. He's kind of like a Marcus Paige, where he just kind of gets whatever he wants in the second half. Now, outside of Bryce Cotton, they don't shoot very well either. I mean, this is a game that I think it could be won in the 60s tonight. It might not be the prettiest thing that you've ever seen, but Bryce Cotton and Marcus Paige are two guys that can fill it up, and I think it comes down to, obviously, Ron, is does Providence or North Carolina have somebody else, like a Leslie McDonald or somebody that has a hot shooting night that propels them to victory? I think it's going to be, to your point, I think it's going to be a very close game. And if the Tar Heels win, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they could knock off their next opponent.
Taylor, every year this time we all get shocked by certain upsets in the NCAA tournament. What's your opinion of how the NCAA tournament has gone so far?
I thought it was incredible day one. I mean, it starts with Archie Miller, who used to play at NC State, now the head coach of Dayton, his team winning at the buzzer the first game of the day. He had three games going to overtime, and the teams that were controlling the game in regulation all lost in overtime. Herb Sendex, Arizona State Sun Devils, losing at the buzzer last night. I mean, it was exhilarating March Madness, you know, first day. I think North Dakota State probably is the team we're looking at that's the Cinderella from day one. Don't be surprised if Stephen F. Austin is that team today. They play VCU. So you get this every single year, Ron. It's why everybody fills out these brackets and has so much fun watching it.
And once again, every year you get the name Shaka Smart. I love
that
name.
That's right.
Excellent young coach. Taylor, how do folks get in touch with you? I know you're quite active on Twitter.
Sure. Taylor Z Radio is my Twitter handle, and like you said, I'm on SiriusXM from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern on Channel 92 every weekday.
All right. Hey, listen, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Absolutely, Ron. Anytime.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the games today and tonight, and we'll talk to you again later.
Okay, that sounds good.
WCHL Championship Sports, a report on Carolina's spring football coming up in just a few minutes. Also, we'll tell you more about the Carolina baseball game in a few minutes. Right now, we'll get a check-in with Mr. Chansky. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heels may have a better chance of reaching the Sweet 16 than they do getting to the round of 32. This is our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Matchups have been important for this UNC basketball team all season. When the Heels can get out and run, they can beat just about any team, as they did Michigan State and Louisville early on. But when they are forced into a tempo game and Marcus Paige gets too much attention, it's usually trouble. Tonight's NCAA opener in San Antonio against Providence is one of those games. The Friars, who won the Big East tournament from the fourth seed, have several advantages over Carolina, which got booted from the ACC tournament as the fourth seed in the first round by former Big East team Pitt. Besides having one of the great scoring guards in the country in Bryce Cotton, Providence is big and doesn't really like to run. That means they will pack it in and pay special attention to Paige on the perimeter. Get ready for a nail-biter tonight. In contrast, if the Tar Heels can get past Providence, they have a better chance of beating Big 12 champion Iowa State for a trip to the Sweet 16 in New York City. The Cyclones are talented, have the Big 12 Player of the Year, and an excellent coach in Fred Hoiberg, the former Iowa State star they call the mayor. But Iowa State likes to run, and of course, so do the Heels. There won't be as much zone defense surrounding UNC scoring challenge big men, and Paige and Nate Britt will have room to roam in the open court. It sounds silly that Carolina has a better chance against the number 3 seed than they do number 11, but it's all in the style of play. Carolina can't play slow and play poorly and survive, particularly because Providence is one of the best foul-shooting teams in the country. Maybe the Heels' poor free-throwing was contagious, and they passed it on to NC State, which blew a 15-point lead against St. Louis Thursday night because they could not make a free-throw when the Wolfpack needed one. Wouldn't it be nice if Carolina suddenly started making them from the line, because Providence's big guys are bound to test old Roy's team at the stripe. Williams has won at least one game in every NCAA tournament he's been as a head coach, and he doesn't want to break that streak tonight. And if he can somehow win one, the chances are pretty good that he can make it two Sunday. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
You walk into Diamonds Direct and you walk into one of these other stores, it's a whole different feeling. It's a whole different selection. It's a whole different grade of merchandise.
Diamonds Direct's Joey Stagnone comparing Diamonds Direct to one of those mega national corporate chain jewelry stores.
Half the stores you go into don't have any diamond selection. They pull up a computer and they go, oh, well, we have this at our other location, but this will be perfect for you. Let me get a deposit from you. We'll bring it in for you. We don't do that here.
Joey says it's also a difference in quality because each diamond at Diamonds Direct is hand-selected by the owners in Tel Aviv versus some corporate buying office.
They don't see every diamond they buy. Most corporate offices don't even know about half the merchandise is being bought by the buyers until it's in the store.
Diamonds Direct.
You're buying from a massive selection where you're going to choose the stone that works best for you.
Better selection, higher quality, unrivaled passion.
Honesty, integrity, selection, caring about the customer more than the almighty dollar.
Diamonds Direct, the Carolinas' direct diamond importer.
I will not sell a diamond to anyone unless I love the diamond myself. I won't compromise, not when it comes to diamonds.
Outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all landscape needs.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's half off. It's half off. $499 for a photo booth rental, available now for $249. A photo booth rental is perfect for weddings, class reunions, birthday parties, graduation parties, and more. Your guests hop in and out of the booth, and within a few minutes, the photo booth takes the shots and prints out a strip in their choice of color or black and white. Give your guests a gift they really want. It's half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro Weather, brought to you by Sturtevant's Tire Pros in Chapel Hill. Visit 942Tire.com, or you can give them a call at 942Tire. It's going to be great today. 37 degrees, a lot of sunshine. Look for a high today of about 68. Tomorrow, even better, with a high in the middle 70s.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Now, nearly 2 weeks after it vanished, the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 wraps up in the southern Indian Ocean. No sign of two large pieces of debris located earlier by satellite.
Everyone here in Malaysia is still paying close attention to that search off of the western coast of Australia. Malaysian authorities have reminded us the search does continue in the northern corridor as well.
That's CBS's Seth Doan.
Authorities here in Malaysia have told us today that they believe this will be, in their words, a long haul.
CBS aviation safety expert Mark Rosenkirk.
I believe the authorities are going to continue as long as they possibly can, as long as there is a glimmer of hope of finding something.
But Australian marine geologist Robin Beeman says with rain in the forecast, visibility will decrease.
This makes finding anything floating at or near the surface very challenging. And then you have ocean swell on top of that.
Seas are expected to run from 10 to 13 feet. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is 37 degrees in Chapel Hill, 832 at WCHL, the beginning of a really good day. What has a lot of people frustrated and angry? The Chapel Hill Carboro Board of Education could be making some very tough cuts in its next budget. One proposed reduction amounts to more than $500,000, and it's angering some teachers and parents. WCHL's Danny Hooley has the report.
If you're not going to have a robust, gifted, and talented program, don't advertise to the public that you do. Parents deserve to make an informed decision about their child's education.
That's Karen Herpel, a parent from Carboro. Thursday night at Smith Middle School, the Chapel Hill Carboro Board of Education held a work session to discuss budget issues. Herpel and a few others spoke out against a proposal that would reduce the number of gifted specialists in classrooms. According to budget recommendations released by Superintendent Tom Forsella on March 14th, proposed cuts in gifted specialists would amount to a net reduction of $536,340. That's more than half of approximately $909,852 in reductions Forsella recommends. That figure amounts to about 40% of $2.2 million, the total of the budgetary hole the school system finds itself itself in. In his March 14th recommendations, Forcella included some reminders of how the shortfall came to be. He cited the depletion of the fund balance as well as reduced support from the Republican-led North Carolina General Assembly. The recommendation to reduce gifted specialists in classrooms comes with assurances that it will be done through attrition and reassignments and that no positions would be terminated. But Helen Mota, a gifted specialist for Culbreth Middle School, said her concern is for students. She said she was skeptical of a plan to use coaches to support teachers in the classroom in the absence of gifted specialists.
Gifted specialists are experts in differentiation and in understanding the needs of the individual student in the classroom, whereas coaches are more focused on teaching the curriculum and working with teachers to teach the curriculum. Our coaches right now are only working with math and language arts teachers, whereas gifted specialists work with science and social studies teachers as well.
There's a lot more to this story from Daily Hooley on our website at chapelboro.com. One agenda item last night that managed to unite the audience of about 20 people. As expected, the board unanimously voted to oppose General Assembly legislation that eliminates teacher tenure in 2018 and offers four-year contracts to 25% of teachers. That got a big round of applause. The Carolina community is gearing up for the annual UNC Dance Marathon, which kicks off tonight at 7:30 in UNC's Fetzer Gym and runs through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Through the years, the event has raised more than $3.3 million for patients and families of the North Carolina Children's Hospital. During the 24-hour action-packed affair, students will dance for fun and to keep from falling asleep with the goal of never sitting down. UNC Dance Marathon Executive Director Liz Goslin joined WCHL's Aaron Keck in the studio early this week. For the past 16 years, this event has grown bigger and bigger, and Goslin hopes this year's UNC Dance Marathon will break more records.
In terms of the size, we have over 2,000 student dancers signed
up.
So those are the students who are standing for 24 hours. We also have probably close to 300 or 400 student volunteers who come in for a smaller shift. You know, we have 350 committee members who have been working on this year-round, so it really is a team effort of Carolina students, and it's fun to see it all.
The UNC Dance Marathon, something you need to see. You can go to our website to find out more at chapelboro.com. Number 15 North Carolina baseball team, 14-6 on the season, 4-2 in conference play, has a three-game ACC series with 13-8 Georgia Tech opening up this afternoon at 5 at Bosheimer Stadium. And Tar Heels will play them again Saturday at 6 and Sunday at 1. And this quick note about Carolina spring football. The Tar Heel football team is busy making preparations for a strong campaign in 2014, but it all starts with spring practice. Head coach Larry Fedora says the offensive line is still a work in progress at this point.
Right now we don't have enough depth in our offensive line. You know, we have a few guys out with after postseason surgeries, and so we're working very thin right now. So the great thing is all those young kids are getting a lot of reps right now, making a lot of mistakes, and you know, it's hard to get some continuity up front when you're doing that, but it's going to pay off down the road.
The progression of quarterback Marquise Williams into the leader of the team will be a fascinating development this season. Coach Fedora says the experience that Marquise gained in live game action in 2013 is really making an impact in spring practice.
You saw it from the Virginia Tech game where he started the Virginia Tech game. And as he progressed through the season, he got more comfortable, and that's where he is right now. He's very comfortable with what we're doing. You know, if the defense does something that he hasn't seen, it gets him, but he can figure out pretty quick, and the next time it happens, he's right back where he needs to be.
On the flip side, Mitch Trubisky, the young signal caller out of Ohio, still has a lot of offense to absorb. Coach Fedora says he's not completely at ease in the backfield just yet.
No, it's not at that level yet. I mean, Mitch understands what the offense is, but he's still, every rep's a new experience for him, so I wouldn't say that he's at that comfort level yet.
Coach Fedora says nearly all the starting positions are up for grabs. He wants his players to earn their starting spots, and that applies to the battle between Williams and Trubisky for the leading quarterback position.
They're both competing. I mean, they're both getting a lot of reps. They're both getting after it. I mean, they're helping each other, and they're trying to make us better. But, I mean, yeah, they're both handling it well, and they're both competing hard.
All right, Carolina football practice in spring. Annual blue-white spring game will be held on Saturday, April 12th. It's not too far away at 3 p.m. in Keenan Stadium. 8:38 at WCHL, and now Rand Northam.
Here with the Nelsons to talk, and it seems like just, I don't know, a month ago we were sitting down previewing the crop walk again, but it's back and very exciting. Aaron, first tell me, what is the crop walk? What is it all about?
Well, for 28 years now, IFC has partnered to deliver our community's great walk called the crop walk. It's a crop hunger walk is what we call it now, and folks come out from all around the community, and we raise money to feed people.
Just walking, again, there's a lot of events that that you just walk and raise money that way. So how does the money, I guess, get from the people to the organization? Is it a sponsored-based walk?
Sure. There's several ways you can do it. You can register yourself and participate, or you can form a team, and folks can pledge money to your activity. You also can sponsor IFC residents or folks that use the shelter or the food pantry and sponsor their walking. What's excited about what I think, you know, hunger is a real problem in our community, but unlike cancer, we have to raise money in order to find a cure. The cure for hunger is obvious. It's food. And so we can take the money and buy food and directly solve this problem.
Wow, that's great. When is the walk and where is it?
Sure, the walk is on the 28th. That's this coming Sunday the 28th, and it starts at Carrboro Town Commons. Registration's at 1:30, and the walk starts at 2:30.
Why do people get the passion to walk? I mean, obviously you've mentioned it, it's hunger, but do you get people who come out who are hungry? I mean, are there people out there like that too, or what's this all about?
Our faith community has really played a leadership role, folks from throughout the community, but churches really form the core of this, and different church organizations are raising funds, but also community organizations, our family, others to raise funds. And this year, folks that benefit from the shelter and the IFC food pantry and services will also be participating. And this year, the walk's also a little different. There's a 4-mile walk, there's a 2-mile walk, and this year, a real sort of family, less than a mile walk, just a 0.8 miles of participation.
And Max, you've done this before. I think you walked last year. What gets you excited about this? And how about last year? Was last year a lot of fun?
Yeah, last year was a lot of fun. I was on the radio like I was this time, and that really helped a lot, I think. And it really is important to me because it really, like, there are a lot of kids experiencing this too, so I think it's really important for kids to know about it also, so that's why I try to participate in it.
Do you try to get your friends to come out and do it too?
I try. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't, but if they can, that's fun for me and them and everybody else who benefits from it.
Aaron, how much money has been raised, and how much, is there a goal for this year?
Well, each year we raise tens of thousands of dollars, and over the course of the time that we've done this in this community, more than $1 million has been raised. We are very hopeful for this year's walk. Hundreds of people we expect to be there. Last year was one of the best walks we've had in a decade, and we're looking forward to repeat performance.
I know you've said something about the registration already. Remind me about that again, and
sure.
Can it be a walk-up registration as well? Can people show up that day?
You can show up that day if you want. Probably easiest if you just Google Crop Walk in Chapel Hill. It'll take you right there to it. You can also call the folks at the IFC, 929-6380.
Aaron Nelson, Max Nelson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ran. It is 841 at WCHL's Ron Stutz, and some special guests in the studio this morning to talk about Boy Scout Troop 845 in Carrboro. And Brian Burnham is here, and Ed Billings is here. And Brian, you're one of the Scout leaders, leader of the Nepal Trek.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about this. What's that all about?
So this summer, we are heading over to Nepal. I think we have 14 scouts going with us. I guess I should get that number locked into my head at some point soon. And we're going to spend 26 days on trail in the Himalayas, going from Jiri up to Everest Base Camp and hiking through the area.
Wow. Ed Billings, the leader of the Appalachian Trail Trek. Ed, tell us about that trip.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I'll be leading a crew of 6 scouts and 2 additional leaders up in the 100-mile wilderness in Maine. It's a 114-mile trek, 17,000 feet of elevation gain, and we'll finish atop Mount Katahdin.
My goodness. Well, I'm feeling very unworldly this morning because you guys are traveling all over the world. We have a couple of scouts here, Wes and Evan Malinchak, and you guys, tell me what you guys are doing this summer.
I'm Evan Malinchak, and so I'm really excited to go on the 100-mile wilderness hike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hike through just the beautiful parts of America, just through Maine, and it's the northern terminus of the AT.
Mm-hmm.
So it's where the Appalachian Trail through hikers finish up, and it's just supposed to be the most beautiful part of the AT. So I'm just thrilled to go there.
Well, Evan, I got that right?
Yep.
Wes, your brother, tell me about what you're doing this summer and how you feel about it.
So this summer I'm going to go to Nepal with Brian, and it's definitely going to be amazing because it's going to be nothing I've ever done before. I'm really excited to see all the beautiful mountains in the Himalayas and everything, and I think it'll be a great experience for everyone involved.
Gosh, scouting is such a great organization and such a great learning experience too, but Brian, I know that
first and foremost right now, you're trying to raise money to make all this happen. How do folks help?
Yes, we have a Youth for Hire program going right now, and that's through Laura Malinchok. So Malinchok's very involved in the summer here. And basically, people around the community are calling in or emailing Laura Malinchok, our Hire Youth Coordinator, and requesting jobs be done. And so we've got our crew of 14 scouts that's trying to earn money. And we mainly do just general yard cleanup, yard maintenance, mulching, all that sort of stuff. So as springtime comes around, we've been getting really busy and booking a couple weeks out. So it's been great so far.
Ed Billings, Boy Scout Troop 845 in Carrboro, has a reputation for going on these long trips. Tell us about this troop and what you guys are trying to accomplish.
Well, we're very fortunate that we have a strong high-adventure culture within the troop. The boys, when we're out on our monthly trips, there's always campfire time where they're talking about potential trips that they want to take. And the culture's really evolved to where they believe that if they have a great idea and they put their energy behind it, they can accomplish it. And I think the 100-mile wilderness trip is a great example of that, because Evan here presented this idea to the troop committee and really gave a great presentation of why he wanted to do this trip and how it could be done. And we were able to develop the leadership team to lead it. So that's our culture.
That's amazing. I understand a group of 12 scouts and 5 leaders will be heading to Nepal. And in the Appalachian Trail trip, it'll be 7 scouts and 3 leaders. You guys, Wes and Evan, how long have you been scouts?
We started originally in Pennsylvania, but then when we moved here, we just got caught up in the culture. So I think it might be 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like an exciting summer. And again, one more time, Brian, if you would tell us how folks can get involved, how they can help.
Sure. Like I said, it's the Hire Youth Program, coordinated by Laura Malinchok. And I don't know her email off the top of my head, but maybe there will be something on the site where people can go and get it. But I can have it on our troop website also.
I can tell you it's laura.malinchok@gmail.com.
There we go. So if you need any yard work done coming up in the next couple weeks, give her an email and get some of our scouts out there to start doing some work.
Well, Wes and Evan, I want to thank you for coming in, and thanks for participating in the program. It's really great. And it's wonderful that we have scout leaders like Ed Billings and Brian Burnham to do this. Thank you so much for doing this and helping our young men.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks a lot for coming in this morning, too. It is 8:46 at WCHL. D.G. Martin is on the way. Also, you're going to meet in just a few minutes WCHL's hometown hero.
Hi, this is Sean Sloan, owner of Twig. Many people think of Twig as a go-to place for baby shower gifts, eco-fashions, and natural home products. But you may not know that we have one of the best selections of glassware, kitchen items, and food storage containers. Folks are trying to get away from using plastic goods, and we can help. We have break-resistant tempered glass storage that doubles as bakeware, freezer-to-oven containers, and leak-proof juice and shake tumblers. Located on Elliott Road next to Whole Foods, Twig, where it feels good to make your kitchen green.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile, local store, global selection, at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, or find us online at besttile.com.
And now it's time for the professionals, local service, daily insights.
I'm Mark Vitale. I'm the owner of All About Insurance, one of Nationwide's largest insurance agencies. Very proud to be the leader of that operation. So I was raised a little different. My dad raised me that work was the essence of everything. Even though I'm a workaholic, I believe that you need to have time to shut it off. And you need to be able to enjoy your family, your spouse, whoever it may be. And it's so important, because if you get wrapped up in the everyday work, 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 this has got to be done, people suffer that are part of your family.
People that are workaholics get so intensely involved that they forget that balance of life is the most important thing. Fortunately, we're able to travel all over the world. I love to go in and watch. I ask questions about how they run their businesses. How do they run their lives? How do they run their families? Because reality is this. You can be the best business person in the world or the best employee in the world. And if it's all you do and you forget your family, you haven't done anything. So you can call in Chapel Hill at 919-933-4000 or stop in at Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard, or you could check us out at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
849 at WCHL.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
All right, thanks, Coach, and good luck tonight.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Bruce Curran. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. It's the feeling that you get when you're six and you came down the stairs early Christmas morning and saw the tree all aglow with that Norman Rockwell golden light in the room. Basically the same feeling you had when you beat Duke in the ACC tournament final. And of course, you made everybody else's Sunday just a little brighter. The Tar Heels, on the other hand, did nothing to brighten anybody's day when they came out in their last two games looking suspiciously like the team that was wearing light blue or in early January. Now, we all know it's tough to win at Duke. Just ask Syracuse. But the Heels didn't do themselves any favors against Pitt in front of essentially a home crowd. Nevertheless, they came out smelling like a rose and landed in the East region, which remarkably is populated by teams they can beat if they figure out what they were doing when they played Michigan State and Louisville earlier in the season. In fact, the toughest test before the regional final could well be a round two match with Iowa State. This is all predicated on the hope that the Division II version of the Heels doesn't sneak into the game tonight. Mark Twain once said there are three kinds of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics. So we'd better hope that Mr. Clements was correct in his disparaging remarks about stats, because Carolina's statistical resume is pretty frightening. The three areas that seem to correlate most closely with winning are no surprise. Free throws, turnovers, and three-point shooting. For the record, Carolina is 159th out of 345 ranked NCAA teams in turnovers. Their free throw percentage is 338th, which means there are only seven teams below them in all of Division I, and their percentage from the arc is below the level of detection since the NCAA only measures that stat down to 296 teams. There was a stretch in January where the only thing consistently lower than Carolina's three-point shooting percentage was the percentage of people who think Congress is doing a good job. That said, they won 12 games in a row in ACC play. They beat two top-ranked teams, and they're the only team in NCAA history to have beaten teams 1-4 in the initial AP poll during the regular season. To say that Coach Williams has done a great job this year would be a huge understatement given those statistics. Remarkably, Carolina could still get to the Sweet 16 given the totally unpredictable nature of the team this season. But over the long haul, you simply can't coach your way out of those stats, but you can recruit your way out. This is Bruce Curran.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
36 degrees, a sunny day, hot today in the upper 60s, 851 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
In the early spring of every year, lots of Chapel Hill folks move over to Durham, Lock, Stock and Barrel for a few days to enjoy the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival. One of those folks runs the show, and she spends most of the year commuting from her Southern Village home to work at the festival's offices at the American Tobacco Campus. And more about that later. But first, why would anybody leave Chapel Hill to camp out in Durham for 4 days to watch documentary films? Well, the short answer is that for film fans, this festival experience is what the ACC tournament is to basketball fans. Nationally, Full Frame has earned the same kind of reputation in the documentary film world as ACC basketball has in the sports world. For instance, noted filmmaker Doug Block says, among filmmakers, Full Frame is the country's most revered documentary film festival. And by the way, the world premiere of Block's new film, 112 Weddings, will kick off this year's festival opening night, mark this, Thursday, April 3rd. And it's just one of about 70 films competing for the attention of festival attendees over the 4-day weekend. All right, now let's go back now to that Chapel Hill woman who spends her days in Durham throughout the year as leader of Full Frame. Until about 4 years ago, Deidre Hodge was best known in Chapel Hill as the wife of Joe Hodge, who's the popular leader of Playmakers Repertory Company. A few years earlier, the couple had traded their promising careers in Los Angeles as film and stage actors and producers so that Joe could come to Chapel Hill, really come back to Chapel Hill, to take on a dream job as leader of the Playmakers. When Tom Rankin, the former director of Duke's Center for Documentary Studies, was looking for a new leader for the film festival, Chapel Hill's Betty Keenan, who knew something about Deidre's experience in film production, told him that Deidre would be, quote, worth making a special effort for. Keenan had served on the search committee that brought Joe Hodge to Playmakers, and she knew about Deidre, and Deidre got the job. Today, Rankin praises Hodge for success as director of Full Frame, citing especially her leadership in fundraising. And it's just an example of, and this is what Hodge told me. She said, our, quote, first team members who are donors above $1,200 a year are now a group of 75 who are mostly couples with whom we have a year-round relationship. When I came, there were only 12 donors at this level. Well, on and on about what she's accomplished, Betty Keenan cites a long list of those achievements, including reaching out to Duke and to the Durham community and enhancing the festival's partnership with Jim and Michael Goodman. Those two have provided a year-round venue for the festival offices and film screenings at American Tobacco Campus. Well, Betty Keenan, a strong supporter of both Playmakers and Full Frame, smiled at me when she said, one of the best things about having Deidre so happy and successful at Full Frame is that it has helped keep Joe at Playmakers. Both of them have important and satisfying work that keeps them busy fulfilling their dreams right here. This is D.G. Martin.
Good morning. Thank you, D.G. 855 at WCHL. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? And what in the world does it mean? Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. You can win a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Your number to call, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Fran Hamer is today's WCHL hometown hero.
My husband, I knew when we got married 28 years ago that we would come back to Chapel Hill because he went to school here, and he loved it. He's a professor. We came back.
Since you moved here in 2003, you've become increasingly involved in a variety of charitable and public service tasks. You volunteered for a long time for the Red Cross.
I worked in blood donations, and I worked with Wilma Palmer. We worked many different places, so I got to see a lot of different businesses, meet a lot of different people. Also, there were a lot of donations at UNC. It was fun.
Fran Hamer also spends a lot of volunteer time with Porch.
For Porch, what we do is stay very busy collecting food. Some people donate their money, and then we go to the stores, and we use that money to get fresh food so that a lot of people can have fresh food, which is not available to them in today's economy. And then we give that out.
You work virtually all day every other Monday when you're doing this, and also you work hard to gather donations of household goods and clothing, flooding your house and your garage with all kinds of boxes.
Yes.
You also serve on the community dinner committee. Tell me about that.
We talk about getting entertainment and food and where we're going to have it. That has been a lot of rewarding time, seeing everybody come and then all the entertainment that happened. And then your master of ceremonies there, and it's always fun to see you there.
Fran is also involved with helping the Corinn refugee community.
We, a couple of years ago, started a school because all of the children were learning English, but they didn't know how to read their native language. So the elders in the community and Epa Pui decided that it would be very important important for them to learn to read and write in Carahan. So we ended up getting a school started at the Carborough Elementary.
Fran, your husband Bob, who probably knows better than anyone else, says that you absolutely throw yourself into doing other things to helping other people, and that you're one of his heroes. Now you're a WCHL hometown hero. What is it that motivates you to do so much for other people all the time?
I enjoy it. It gives me a chance to be with people. I was a business person for many, many years, and once I retired, I had my artwork, but it wasn't giving me the fulfillment. And now I can just be with people all the time, and I learn so much from them. I'm giving back to the community when I couldn't when I was working.
Well, this community is better because you're in it.
Well, thank you.
And congratulations to Fran Hamer of Chapel Hill.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations, Dexter Louie, who called in with the word of the day, Leviathan. L-E-V-I-A-T-H-O-N. It means totalitarian state with a vast bureaucracy. Thank you very much, Dexter. And coming up, we'll give you a quick look at the weather.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Bedoda Landscape Design. It's half off, $150 for landscape design consultation, available now for $75. Bedoda Design exists to craft beautiful, functional, and meaningful designs for your home and family. A lead designer from Bedoda will meet with you to discuss your needs and desires. Then they'll generate two drawings, including plant specimens appropriate to your microclimate and personal tastes, water features, and more. It's half off from Bedoda Landscape Design. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at DurhamTech.edu.
Weather in a word, sunny and nice. High today about 68.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL.